Father, we bless you. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful time we are having in your presence, Lord. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, all the celebration of birthdays, the Lord's faithfulness, Lord, for your children. Lord, we thank you. Lord, taking a little time to read your word now, Lord. Father, bless the reading of your word. Father, in Jesus' name, our Lord, we pray. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I want to read from Colossians chapter 1, the 23rd verse. Colossians 1:23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Talking about the hope of the gospel. So, but this morning, by the grace of God, the blessed hope, in the name of Jesus, the blessed hope. Titus, so that the hope of the gospel, right? So now, and so Titus 2:11. The title is The Blessed Hope. Then we are told not to move away from the hope of the gospel in that book of Colossians. But in Titus 2:11, where I take the title from, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly love, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Wonderful, wonderful word of God. Redeem us from all iniquity. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So that verse, that verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. See, one verse ties all together. What people are struggling with in the world church, they don't know the difference between Jesus and God. They are three people in the Godhead, you know. That many, many verses of scripture tie together just like that, you know. So the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, the same one personality, you know. Anyway, so this great appearing of the Lord Jesus speaks of what? Of the rapture of the bride of Christ at the second coming. That's what he's talking about here. Yeah? That blessed hope. She, meaning the bride of Christ, is actively looking for the imminent second coming of the Lord Jesus. And the scripture promised that she will be rewarded. What scripture? In Hebrews 9:28, to Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him. You see that one that's looking for him? Shall he, not to everybody, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? 1 John 3:2 said us the same thing. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when it shall appear, that appearing, the appearing of the Lord Jesus, talk about the epistle, when it shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had his hope in him purify himself, even as he himself is pure. Talking about the blessed hope this morning, has to do with the rapture of the bride of the Lord Jesus. Well, the word hope does not communicate to us uncertainty. That's what the Bible is saying here. The word hope here means that, people in the general, they want to say hope, they are hoping that something will happen, right? But the word hope here is telling us of a blessed assurance that something will take place. Amen? The Lord will come. That will be a rapture. No matter what people say, that will be a rapture. So it's an assurance, a blessed assurance. Not maybe something will happen. No, that's not the kind of hope we're talking about here, you know. That's why in Romans 5 we are told. And hope, this kind of hope, maketh not ashamed. Not at all. because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the hope that people hope in the world, or maybe not. No, this one is a blessed assurance that the Lord will soon appear. So that's what he's talking about here. Talking of a peculiar people, right? And Christ gave himself for us, he said, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. You know, I always like the word all in the Bible, you know. Who forgives? All our iniquities, you know, healed. All our diseases. It's just a savior to the uttermost. Praise the Lord. Everything about him, you know, to the uttermost, as well as, you know. And, for all our iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That we are a peculiar people, and you are a Christian and so on, dedicated to the Lord. We are a peculiar people. 1 Peter 2, 9 told us the same thing. But ye are a chosen generation, we are, by the grace of God. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, unto whom the Lord will appear. See, these peculiar people talk about in the Bible here. See, now, we know the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ will be called out of the church, the church, for the rapture. They will be called out. It's a church within the church, the bride of Christ. The call out of this church and so on for the rapture. Abraham was a type to us. It's typed all over the Bible. Abraham was called out of God from his brethren. So the church will be called out of their brethren, the body church. Let's see Abraham a little bit and so on in Joshua. Look at the background of Abraham. Are we being called out because of the work of brethren which we have done? Not really. Abraham told us the story of whom we are and the type is in Joshua. It was even from idol worshipping. In Joshua 24 verse 2 concerning Abraham's background and so on. And God called him by election. And Joshua said unto the people, as Joshua finishes his ministry now, admonishing the people of Israel. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. They were idol worshippers. And yet, out of their God called Abraham, having not done anything good, but even idol from home, idol worshipping home, and so on. God called him out of there. And then look at verse 3. And I took your father. He called him. I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him, throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. So God called Abraham out. Was pointing to the bride of Christ at the end of time. Even more succinctly in Acts 7, stealing, declaring, telling the children of the Jews belief on the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 7 2. And he said, ministering said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. Talking about the glorious appearing of God to his bride, right? That's right. It happened in Abraham. The God of glory appear unto our father Abraham. Bible says the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ to the bride, right? In our text today. So, when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Sharon, I said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kingdom. You see that one, like the body of the church. Get out of there. He's calling the bride out at the end of time. I'm going to see right now for the rapture. Get it out of the country and other kindred. And come into the land as if we promised and thy which I will show unto thee. Then came he out of the land of Chaldeans and dwelt at Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, God removed him. God moved him into this land. When you are journeying, God himself called him out. See the call up, And so Abraham typing how the bride will be called out for the body of the church at the end of the time. Why are we talking about this rapture thing? There are all kinds of speculations these days, Some believe that the rapture. Some don't believe that the rapture. And other things, the rapture has even already passed, and so they are now in the great tribulation. All kinds of things are going on in this world. We have to straighten things out by the scripture and so on. There are many colors in the Bible too. Israel himself was called out of Egypt. And she was called the church in the wilderness, right? Colors of the world. All kind of calling out, right? In Acts 7:36. He brought them out after that he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, that the Christians coming out of the world, right? Brought Israel, he called Israel out of Egypt, you know, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is he that was in the church, meaning Moses, in the wilderness, with the angel which spoke to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our father, who received the life oracles to give unto us. So in the same manner, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and so on was called out of the, you know, of the world and so on. In 1 Corinthians 12:2, talking about our own background, the Corinthian church, right? But even applied to all of us, most of us who are Christians too. In 1 Corinthians 12:2, you know that you are Gentiles, carry away unto this dumb idols, he said, even as you are led. And in Ephesians 2:11, see our calling and so on, that you know. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hand. That at that time ye were without Christ. Talking about our grand before we became Christian and so on, just like Abraham was coming from the idol worshipping and so on, to be the elect of God. So and at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and a stranger from the covenant of promise, having no hope, see, and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. So our calling, and of course, in 1 Thessalonians 1:4, we are now being remembered, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. You are elected of God to the body of Christ. You are predestined to that election. If God is like he called Abraham, God himself elected you and I to be his people and so on, that you know. 2 Peter 1:10 tell us the same thing. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You know? See? So this thing kind of boosts our faith and so on. We know our calling. He said, I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. Christ chose you, right? So, you know, so this thing boosts our faith. I mean, because we walk as one here, kings and priests of God, ordained of God, not by man, you know, in Revelation chapter 1, say ye are, you know, kings and priests and so on. Now, anyway, back to our subject this morning, that blessed hope and so on, the rapture, where the Bible speaks explicitly about, you know, six raptures. You know, the Bible talks about six raptures explicitly. And I'm saying, I'm going to go through all of them, because of what is going on in our world today, like I said before, like in the olden days, in the early church, in 2 Timothy, I believe, 2 verse 18, some say even the resurrection have gone, have passed away, and they disabled the faith of many. That's why we talk about these things all the time, that it will hammer down, and it will sink down, so you can keep your eye, God who can put your eye, and not to be distracted about the truth, and so on and that, you know. So we talk got about six explicit scriptures in the Bible, that the Bible talks about. So the scriptures speak of six scriptures, three in the Old Testament and three in the New Testament. Rather than the word rapture, the scripture used the word caught up or translated. So, you know, so I will use them interchangeably. I call them rapture here. I will call them caught up or translation. Doesn't matter. Interchangeably at this moment and so on. So, now, four of the six raptures already took place. Only two are remaining, that the Bible name. There are six explicit ones. Two have already taken, four taking place already, and two are yet to come right now. And the other one, the fifth one can happen anytime. Now, let's go through them. Now, the first one was the translation of Enoch. The first one, as a prophet of an approaching judgment. You are going to see a commonality among these raptures. I can tell you right away. They happen in the time of greatest apostasy of the face of the earth. All of them. They happen. There's somebody is taken off. You see Enoch right now. As a prophet of an approaching judgment, Enoch boldly warned the Assyrians of a time of reckoning 600 years before it happened, before the deluge. Enoch prophesied of this, you know, of a coming judgment. And the Bible recorded his prophecy in Jude. Jude has some information that we don't know, but the Holy Ghost gave it to him in Jude 1:14. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesy of peace, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment, preaching judgment to those antediluvians upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which they are ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So they were, you know, they have turned against God and turned the king line, and all those kind of things happening at that time. So it was a compact prophecy that he gave here, in the sense that now he saw the one when the Lord is coming with his saints. What he didn't see was that there's another select group that the Lord, you know, takes away from here, and which I'm going to talk about later, another rapture, you know. And otherwise, how can the Lord come with his saints except he first of all rapture them, right? So he didn't see that one that we're going to talk about the fifth one, but we keep on going. Anyway, so we see. Now, don't you think that those people in those days were not religious? They were religious, like at the end of time. So those things are not religious. They were religious. After all, Cain acknowledged God himself with an offering, you know, the first fruits. What was his problem? Only that his offering was a self-willed offering. You see, they were religious. Cain had was a religious person. You know, I think it was having God and stone, so it happened at the end of time too. They have a commonality. They were religious, you know, and usually apostasy in each of these raptures, and then someone is taken off, a group is taken off, and things like that, you know. So anyway, so at the end of time. So anyway, what happened was Cain ignored or rejected divine requirement of redemption by blood. So he didn't follow it, he didn't follow the divine revelation and something like that, you know. So the prophet was taken up by the law before the judgment of the deluge. Genesis 5:24, the first rapture, right? And Enoch walked with God in the midst of apostasy, right? You know? And he was not. He didn't just get lost, for God took him. And the matter of 2 or 3 witnesses in Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not be dead, and was not found, not because he got lost. God had translated him. Like I said before, rapture, translation, caught up, and so on, that you know. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So we see the first rapture right here, at a time of apostasy of the greatest order, and a great warning was given 600 years before, you know, it happened. Now, let's go to the second one. I'm going to go through this picture very quickly. Now, the translation of Elijah, another one. The translation of Elijah was the second one of the seed I want to talk about very quickly. During the reign of, again, look at the apostasy, it happened when he showed up. During the reign of Rehoboam, as we know, the son of Solomon, Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of the 10 tribes and the southern kingdom of 2 tribes. More often than not, these two nations were at each other's throats all the time when they were divided and so on. While Judah kings in the south had not entirely lost their faith in Jehovah, the 10 tribes of the north, their kings, you know, all the time, they were men, you know, without character. All their kings in the north at that time, they were men without character. Judah still had some spiritual sense, right? They had Jehoshaphat and some good leaders and so on, that's, you know, but not in the north. They were just, so those people in the north, the wickedness of one king over there was exceeded only by the one to follow him. See, apostasy and so on. Now, at the time, a civil war broke out among those 10 southern, the 10 tribes, I don't know, and they had a civil war, you know, in the 10 tribes. What happened? And, you know, during that, Omni is his name, and Sidney, the two contenders at that time for the throne, they fought it out, and Omni won. So, and Omri prevailed, and for 12 years, he followed what? The example of the idolatry kings before him. That's what they did in the northern kingdom. At his death, what happened? He was succeeded by his son, Ahab, who did evil in 1 Kings 16:30. Bible says, who did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. That was happening in the center at the north and so on. So, despite Ahab's wickedness, what happened? He had moments when he had some compunction of conscience. But you know, his supreme folly was that he married this woman called Jezebel, a notorious, you know, Jezebel that he married. And this woman was possessed of an iron will, and in her hands Ahab was just a mere puppet. How happened? I said, king of Israel, a puppet in the hand of people. I'm talking about, you know. Throughout her sinister influence, the worship of Jehovah in Israel was supplanted by their worship. We know that. She authorized the execution of the prophets of the Lord. And though a few escaped her hands by hiding in the caves and things like that, many perished at her hand. The brazen boldness of Jezebel, this wicked woman, seemed to have cowed the entire nation. It just terrified and bullied the whole nation, you know, spiritually and so that, you know. A reign of terror, which carried on in the name of their religion, eventually was to result in her name becoming a symbol of false religion throughout the Bible. You know, the book of Revelation named her many times in connection with false teaching and apostate teaching, you know. The book of Revelation, I don't want to go there because I don't have time for that right now, but it's there. That's how terrible that, you know, their reign was and so on. But the book of Revelation, it mentions that Bible correct, that woman Jezebel, who could have said prophetess, book of Revelation and so on, you know. And even maybe the government to eat things happen to idols and things like that, you know. How terrible an apostasy at that time of Ahab and Jezebel. The height of her power and influence of this wicked woman was a critical and evil hour in the history of Israel, and laid a background of commonality before the flood, apostasy, Enoch was taken. See? So what happened now? During in the time of Israel, what happened again? Jezebel and Ahab, what happened? So it was at that time that the one-winged prophet, Elijah the prophet, the Tishbite, the Bible says, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, appear on the scene in Israel. 1 Kings 17:1. Okay? So, what I'm talking about this morning is his exit from this world. Every Bible reader knows about the exodus of Elijah, right? I won't go about that, but the main thing relevant to what I'm talking about now is his exit from this world, not seeing death and being translated. So, we all know about his exit and so on, about, you know. So in 2 Kings 2:11, we are told how he left this world. And it came to pass, as the sea went on, meaning himself and Elisha, and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Second translation, upon the face of the earth, in the time of apostasy and so on, you know, and so that, you know. Elijah was taken, you know. Anyway, so it's number two. Let's quickly go. Next one now. The next one is the Lord himself, the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where? Of course, looking at apostasy, Israel rejected the Messiah, right? What greater apostasy is that, right? Many miracles were wrought by him. If I have not done that miracle which no man has ever done, then they have no sin. They not show them and so on. I came upon that name, and you receive me not. If another will come in his own name, him you will receive. So they rejected. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's the law. You know, understand? So I'm talking about putting that. Of the highest order. What happened? Well, the Lord was crucified and so on, that you know. So we know. So our Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose the third day, showed himself alive to many of his disciples, and ascended to heaven afterwards. This is the third rapture of the Old Testament. And I want to read the 1 Corinthians 15, the third chapter, what I'm talking about the Lord Jesus. Many scriptures, of course, talk about his death, resurrection, and some of that, you know. But in 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I deliver unto you, the apostle wrote, of all that which I also, I always like that, what I have received, the communion, he received of the law and gave it to the church, you know. So it's been there before. So what he was talking, he knew what he was talking about, right? So, and anyway, so that's a way to really live, you know. If you're talking about God's war, be in it, you know, yourself. Anyway, so, and how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture.
and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. He didn't go by any other thing. He has to be by, how do we know? By the scripture, you know. That's it. And so, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Bible says. And then last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. And of course, after that, that is the ascension in Acts 1:1. The former traitors, I find me, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. I see that. See the third translation, right? The third translation and so on, like number 3 and so on. Taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he has chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, see, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And when, verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while in the head, he was taken up, I mean, caught up, you know, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the keystone, if you want to say that, that tied the Old and the New Testament events together. So right there, you know, so the third one, the Lord himself, you know. Now number 4, rapture, or translation, what you call it, the rapture of the Old Testament saints, you know, number 4. 27 of Matthew, what do you think? 27 of Matthew, verse 45. Now, for the sixth hour, the Lord was on the cross, right? There was darkness over all the land of the, all the land, until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man called for a liar. And straight away, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Now, verse 50 says, thus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he led up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple, as he gave that loud voice, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rock rent. That's not the only thing that happened when he gave that loud voice. That what happened again. And the gates were opened at that loud voice. The gates were opened, and many bodies of the saints which fled arose, and they were there in the graves. What happened later? And came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. So here, the Lord's loud voice awakened the sleeping Old Testament saints right there, just like the same voice when they cry, Lazarus, come forth, in John 11, the same voice, right? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you know? So that same voice, waking up, brought Lazarus back from, you know, from the dead, the same voice when he cried that day, and so on, waking up the potential medicines, many of them, not all of them, and so on, you know? So, and they came out, Bible says, and after his resurrection, and they appeared to many in Jerusalem. This kind of message is to tell the world and the Christendom that, hey, this rapture is for real. Amen? That's why I'm talking about all of them, you know. This rapture is for real. Don't let anybody cajole you or deceive you by any means, you know. Anyway, so we see. So, what is happening right here? So, you know, this is also fulfilled, you know, David prophesying of this event, of the Lord, you know, raising this Old Testament things up in Psalm 68. Verse 18. Bible says, because what happened there? Thereafter the Lord led them to paradise. which did not locate to the third heaven. So yes, they were in the grave when they killed the last crowd. Then after they went out and they came out of the grave and showed themselves to the people, then what happened thereafter? Then the Bible, they were taken to paradise, which the Lord had at that time relocated to the third heaven. And David prophesied of this in Psalm 68, verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men. That was the official being referred to in Ephesians 4:8. If you want to check that one out, you know, the same scripture. Also in Psalm 24, David by divine inspiration wrote, verse 7 says, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. There was a voice among them. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Then the beast said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Praise the Lord. David was saying that in the spirit. And so that you know. He said he was a messianic prophet. He said many things about the sufferings of Christ. You know, the resurrection of Christ. Psalm 16, Psalm 22. You know, we know all those things. And so that you know. But of this one, he said of this one, taking, you know, the resurrection and so on, of the many things and so on, lead them out to paradise, which was relocated. Now, let's just one alone and go to the next one, number 5. To save time here. The rapture, that's the Old Testament's first fruit rapture, right? Now we come to the rapture of the New Testament saints, you know. All that I said before now, they have come and passed now. We're talking about the future now. That future could be today, could be tonight, could be tomorrow, for this fifth one. So, a cloud of witnesses, and so on, that you know. If those ones came to pass, who is to say that this one will not come to pass? Only Lucifer and his cohort will say that. Now, the rapture of the New Testament saints. The story of Enoch and the antediluvians foretold two groups of people at the end time, always two, and so on. A large group of churches made up of Catholics, Protestants, Apostates, Pentecostals, yeah, they say they are Pentecostals now, by whatever, and even others, they form an ecumenical body, you know, they form it and so on, it's our house right now. This ecumenical body will accept other religions, including Muslims, and even the religions of the East. They will take gay and lesbian movements, say, oh, we are all serving the same God. That's the body. Apostasy, right? So this means that rapture is near. It happened in the day of Enoch, apostasy, right? It happened in the time of Elijah, apostasy, right? So at the end of time, in the time of Christ, rejection of Christ, right? Apostasy of the first order. So in our age now, the Basidian Church, even the bride of Satan, Mystery Babylon, the Bible called them and some of that, you know, they are on the right. Wouldn't that be a rapture? Bible said that be a rapture. Even at this time. All together, they constitute what the Bible called Mystery Babylon, Revelation 17. One of the major reasons why those pro-Christian people, those Pentecostal people and so on, were involved in this thing, that why are they there? Because, you know, why are they in that system? Because like Cain, they ignore or rejected divine revelation. Period. Of whom Jesus is. See? They did not receive, they didn't believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They see there are three gods, you know. That's why we put them in that system really, you know. See, that's where it came from. You know, that's one of the reasons of many why they are going to be in that system. They are put Christians, maybe they are even Pentecostal by not by experience, by name I guess, you know. So that's why they are there. They don't believe in the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we put them that system right there, you know. So that, but for we know the Bible tells us categorically who Jesus is by so many scriptures. I just gave about two or three in 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. If you stop there, you see there are three gods, you know, not really, you know. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three but so are one. And verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is a true God and eternal life. In John 1:1. So So three in heaven and two on the earth. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see. So this large group, so these people, they will go through the great tribulation. They call it, one of the reasons is that they don't believe, they don't receive divine revelation of whom Jesus is. They don't believe on the deity of the Lord Jesus. That will put them in the last system. They will go through great tribulation. And the Bible foretold great tribulation in Daniel 12. That time shall Michael stand up for the Jews and so on, that you know the great prince which shall stand up for the children of thy people. And that shall be a time of trouble. See that where I'm going. Where they will end up. Both the apostate and so on, that you know don't believe, who don't receive the divine revelation that God has given, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, this time. And at that time, people shall be delivered. So anyway, a time of trouble that never before. See? Just like the flood, and so on. Enoch was gone. So the church will be gone when this happens and so on. Matthew 24, verse 21. The Lord makes it more plain. For there shall be great tribulation, such as was never since the beginning of the world. To that time, to this time. No. Not ever shall be. So now that's the larger group of people and so on, like the days of Enoch and so on, that you know. The other church, the much smaller band of Christians will be translated, escaping the great tribulation, just like Enoch was taken up before the deluge. Was taken up. The scripture specifically stated that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. That is in Jude 1:14. Only one chapter in Jude 1:14. So, see, the seventh from Adam. Why would the Bible name that? Why would it specifically say that? Doesn't just talk for no reason. It is true also. It's telling us that there are seven churches. The Lord named the book of Revelation, right? So in the seventh church age, or the book of Revelation, that will be the church age where a portion of the bride, will be alive and be translated, at the second coming of Christ. That is the implication as far as we know by revelation of the Lord. So all the other ones, the other seven church ages, yeah, they will come up, some of them will come in the bride ship, but only in the seventh church age do we have those who are alive in the body of Christ going in the translation. When there was said, all the people that were there at the time of Enoch, not all of them were gone alive. Some of them will have come up in the Old Testament resurrection that I talked about, but only Enoch is born. So the same way, so in the seventh church age only, it's where the faithful are alive and going up in the rapture, like Enoch went off in the rapture. So having said that, so we see now, let me read one scripture about the rapture, of this time, New Testament church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, or with like that, The same thing this with the Old Testament saints when he has cried with a loud voice and so on. The temple way was red, and working off those things and so on, that the same thing, the same Lord, never changes. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, just like Enoch of old, and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and then shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord. Now, the last one I want to mention that the Bible talks about specifically or explicitly, the two witnesses. So that the two prophets arrived in Israel in the what the Bible called the 70th week of Daniel, to warn the Jews against the covenant that the Antichrist will make with them. Which covenant was prophesied in the Old Testament? Daniel chapter 9, I don't have time to go there. Isaiah 28 spoke of the covenant. Then I said that covenant will be broken in the middle of the 7 year period that we talk about. I started talking about the covenant and agreement with death. Is said in 28 of Isaiah, so I won't go to that, but that's what it is. These two people will come up, two prophets in Israel will come and warn the true Jew against the covenant and so on. So they will be killed by the peace system. They will be resurrected and raptured after their ministry. This is the sixth rapture mentioned in the scripture. Revelation 11:3. Now we read quickly. So And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast, that's verse 7, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall be in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, meaning in Jerusalem, right? And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they had a great voice. Here you go again. The same Lord Jesus. And they had a great voice from heaven. Never changed, right? Never changed. Great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. The church, how did they go up? Bible says, and then we shall be caught up together with them in the cloud, sir, to meet the Lord in the air. The voice, always the same Lord Jesus. Whether it's calling the tribulation saints or the two witnesses or calling the bride and so on, that in the rapture, it's the same Lord Jesus. So many questions have been raised and so on, that you know, about the qualification. I'm finishing that, and I'm mentioning all the six of them. So the two witnesses in finishing. People have asked questions, you know, about the qualification of those who will participate in the rapture. Well, certainly we know this. One of the qualifications is faith. Because in the very first one rapture that happened, faith was connected. The rapture, that we say in Hebrews 11:5, the first rapture by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. So that's a qualification, right? And now, the rapture of the church in our time will be a revelation to the bride. Faith is a revelation to you, know, and something that has been revealed to you and I. See, the revelation of God. That is, the scripture said concerning Enoch by faith. So that's one qualification. And other qualification, we can go on, is the text we take today in Titus 2:12. Before he mentioned the glorious appearing, he told you your manner of life. My manner of life in Titus 2:12. Deny ungodliness, qualification. And worldly lust, have to deny those things to be qualified, right? We should be sober, time of soberness, righteousness, and godly. Deny all those things in this present world. Our qualification, right? Just to mention a few. Faith is the true one, right? Enoch had that. Then we are told also that if you are looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, then we have to deny in this age ungodliness, worldly lust. We should live soberly, and we should live righteously, and godly in this present world. So this is it right now. So again, let nobody deceive us. Happened in the early church before, in 2 Timothy 2:18. They came out and said, concerning the fruit, many have heard, saying that the resurrection is past already, and but through the faith of many. So, and where the Lord help us in this age and so on, unto whom much is given, much is required. He has given us so much, and we have to trumpet everywhere we go. There is falsehood, many, in so many quarters, you know. Much, we thank God for the internet. Gospel is going on. Satan is also progressing his own life, even in sort of Christian circles and so on. So this kind of truth will be brought out as often as we have opportunity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says we should never fail to continue to talk about that hope which is in us. Everywhere we go among ourselves. The book of Peter, even when you know some of these things, we should talk about them too. So Lord, your word ever grows old to strengthen our faith. Lord, we worship and we adore you, Lord, for accounting us worthy to understand all these things, Lord. Now, Lord, we know your word promises you are going to supply our need. And you told us in so many scriptures, Lord, Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Like Elijah of old, Lord, O Father, despite the apostasy of his time, despite, O Lord God, the persecution that came through and so forth, you supply his needs. Lord, we know you are going to supply our needs also in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what the economy of this world does, O Lord, it doesn't affect Elijah. God supply him supernaturally. That's what we need right now at this hour, supernatural supply, and the Lord will not fail us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we have confidence in the word of God. Our God shall supply all our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we live a life of confidence in the Lord. Lord, blessed be your name, O Lord. Let no sins fret. Let no lift up your head. But we say, no, our redemption dreads nigh. So we thank you. As we go this morning, Lord, we go with the confidence of the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, the time we are living in, Lord, the blessed hope, Lord, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, that kind of nullify any kind of a stress, any kind of anxiety or worry. Lord, you know, if we go through hardship and so on, I will say, oh Lord, the glory to be revealed in us. It's not to be compared. I mean, the suffering of now is not meant to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ from this time forth and even forevermore. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.